Good morning. Welcome to Stone United Methodist Church. I'm Pastor Kendra Ballier. Christ is still risen. Oh, we'll try that again. Christ is risen. Amen. It is the second Sunday of the season of Easter, and I'm glad that you are here. We're starting a new series this week for the next couple weeks, all the way through Pentecost. We'll be breaking some chains and unlocking our resurrection stories. So I am so glad that you're here to join with me today. There's a Bible study that'll be coming up, not this Wednesday, not the next Wednesday, but the Wednesday after that. I believe that's the 24th, and there's a sign-up sheet out in the hallway where the flower sign-up sheet is, and their books are in the office. They're $10 a piece if you want to join the Bible study. That'll be at 10:30 in the morning on Wednesdays. Also, this coming Sunday, we're going to have a special speaker here, which is good news. It will be Kurt from Yuma, and he's going to be bringing us some good news for Crawford County. They've gotten involved in some of the problem that we have with some folks that are home insecure. And so he has worked very hard over the past year to help Crawford County find some solutions. So we're glad to have that as well. I believe that there is a couple monitors that need to be put in. That would be for the trustees to take care of. This is for any time that there's a water leak. There would be a monitor that goes underneath the sinks or in the bathrooms or in the kitchens to let us be aware when there's a water leak, so we don't have some issues like we've had in the past with different things. And they are in the office as well. So, are there any other announcements that I need to share this morning? Pretty quiet, so I'll guess that there is not. If you would then please rise and join with me for the call to worship. They were on the road to Emmaus. Jesus came and fell into step with them, but they did not recognize him. Jesus asked them what they were thinking about. They explained the horror of the recent past, about their friend who was crucified, and their disappointment at dreams of liberation dashed. Then Jesus began to tell the story as a bigger picture. They invited Jesus to dinner after such a long walk. Jesus took the bread, blessed, broke, and gave it to them. Jesus vanished from the room as quickly as he had appeared on the road, but they were left with awe and wonder of having their hearts transformed. We open to the possibility that nothing is closed, that our hearts can be opened anytime, anywhere, and resurrection from death-dealing forces is possible. This is the word of hope for the people who long for it. Our opening hymn this morning is Easter People, Raise Your Voices, number 304, or it'll be on the screen. If you would now join with me for the opening prayer. God of abundance, we are thankful for the beauty all around us. Weave us together in a life full of goodness and joy. Help us to move in harmony with one another and with all creation. Let us travel on your path toward release in your presence. Amen. And our confession of faith today is the Apostles' Creed, number 881. Join with me in this ancient affirmation of faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. Today, if I had some children here, we would start to talk about this. And This is a set of chains. If you've ever had to have a set of chains kind of lock yourself up around something, well, you can see that it doesn't open very well unless you have, whoops, that's not it, the key. And if you have the key, you can just stick it right in the lock and boop, it's open. Now, when we talk about things that lock us up, there's all kinds of reasons why we might lock ourselves up or lock something up, basically because we don't want it stolen, right? I mean, things that get stolen, well, it becomes costly. And not only that, but God tells us in the Ten Commandments, we're not supposed to steal. Sometimes we lock stuff up for protection as well. Sometimes we get bound up. And if I were to bind somebody up or bind something up, if I had a rope, I could tie them up. And I remember when my brother and I were young, we would tie each other up and play cops and robbers or cowboys and Indians. And that poor piano leg, it used to get us tied to the piano leg quite often. Sometimes, though, we would tie the other one a little bit too tight, and we couldn't get loose. And I remember a particular time that I was able to tie my brother up, and he couldn't get loose, and I just walked away, and Mom happened to be out in the garden and couldn't hear him calling for help. Wasn't very nice of me, by the way. But eventually I did come back, and then I had to go and confess to Mom because I needed help because he had made the knot so tight from pulling on it that I needed help getting him untied. Sometimes we need some help getting untied. And so today that's what we're going to be talking about. Getting ourselves loose, unlocking our own resurrection stories. And so now we're going to go ahead and begin our time of gratitude to God as we share our tithes and our offerings.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Holy God, you are so good to us. And there are so many ways to give, Lord. Not just our tithes, but there's offerings of time. Today, Lord God, I thank you for a little one who's being raised up to give his time. And I thank you, Lord God, for all those who give their time as well. Lord, I pray that all of these offerings, these tithes, Lord, I pray that they are pleasing unto your sight. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. There you go. There. Thank you. You may be seated. It is good to be here today, and it is good to have a new scripture and a new series to be starting. And we're going to start today with Luke 24, 13 through 32. Now, a little bit before I start reading this, I want you to realize that many of the passages that we read on the second Sunday of Easter and the third Sunday of Easter, they literally happened the day of the resurrection. Today is also a reading that happened on the day of the resurrection. So Jesus rises in the morning, and here he is in the afternoon for this passage. So the scripture comes from Luke 24, 13 through 32. Now on that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them. But their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What are you discussing with each other while you walk along?" They stood still, looking sad. And then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place there in these days?" He asked them, "What things?" And they replied, "The things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all of the people. And how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things took place. Moreover, some women of our group astounded us. They were at the tomb early this morning, and when they did not find his body there, they came back and told us that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see him. Then he said to them, 'Oh, how foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have declared. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into his glory?' Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them the things about himself in all of the scriptures. As they came near the village to which they were going, he walked ahead of us as if he were going on. But they urged him strongly, saying, 'Stay with us, because it is almost evening and the day is now nearly over. So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took the bread, he blessed it, he broke it, and then he gave it to them. Then their eyes were open and they recognized him and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening the scriptures to us?" This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I invite you to pray with me. Lord God, I just thank you this day that our eyes have been opened as well. It's like the very chains have been removed from them or the blinds that have been locked shut. Open our hearts and our minds to your message today. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Today I want to talk about some stories. Stories that we know, maybe we've even heard of in the past, but we all like a good resurrection story, right? It's almost like the underdog has won when we have a good resurrection story. I want to tell you about a man who had many things going wrong for him in his life. His name is Jason DeFord. And Jason grew up with a mother who had mental illness, and she was also hooked on drugs. And it's a sad, sad story. And if you go into a public school today, you can see some kids that are in their own kind of bondage that way. Well, Jason's dad was also, well, he wasn't always where he should be either. In fact, he was a bookie, so he was busy taking bets a lot of the time. Well, you can imagine what that would do to a young person. They would usually end up with a life that was very similar to what his parents led. He got started early in life doing things that he shouldn't be doing. He didn't have the right kind of support around him. He was thinking of himself and what could make himself feel better. So he got into a life that he was shoplifting and, well, he was doing drugs. He even got into some fights, so he had some assault charges as well. And so at a very young age, starting at 14, he ended up in the juvenile system. Now, I used to have a lot of students that were in the adult offenders system as juveniles. And there's nothing like hearing the sound of gates locking and the jangle of keys. And even to this day, I keep my keys where I can clip them on and off of myself or on and off of whatever I happen to be doing. And even to this day, I can tell you just by the feel of the key, which key it is, so I don't have to look at it to open a door. Kind of binds you to certain things also. Well, Jason got out and ended up back in jail. A lot of recidivism happens in those things. And, well, he ended up getting a young lady pregnant. And the thing that turned him around was finding out that he was a father. I'll tell you more about Jason in a little bit. Things that are traumatic to us sometimes have a way of binding us up. The recidivism rate is almost incomprehensible. Most people, if they have done time, will do it 2 to 3 times before they decide that this was enough and change their behaviors in life. 1 in 28 people in Pennsylvania have done some form of time. Now think about that a little bit. Think about how many are here. Okay. But there are other ways, things that bind us up, as just like I said. When the two that were on the road back from Jerusalem going to Emmaus, they were talking with each other, going over all the events from the week before, and especially the events from the 3 days before. That's a significant number, by the way. You see, in Jewish understanding, when a person has been dead for 3 days, they are officially dead. Did you know that? So, in other words, they're not coming back to life on that third day. They're gone. But something disturbing happened that morning. The women were doing what the women do, and they were doing it in an act of love, of going and continuing the oils and the anointing of the body after death. And when they got there, they were met with two angels, and they were told that Jesus was gone, that he had risen from the dead. We know from John that at least two of the disciples ended up coming along right away and found the same state. We know that Jesus had risen, spoken to Mary Magdalene. And along that day, as different pilgrims, as Passover was over, they were going back to their homes. Jesus came upon the two that were walking. And they were having a discussion about the things that had happened, and they just thought it was all a shame. A complete shame. There's a beautiful painting. Many of you have seen it. In fact, there's a copy of it in the library where there are two walking along the road. It is called the Road to Emmaus. And Jesus is there between them, talking with them. They didn't recognize him. But we know that the two were there. And Jesus discussed with them why he had to die. Pointed out in all of the scriptures of the Old Testament, all the prophecy that had come about, that he had to die. Seems like a big problem. Perhaps. They even needed a bigger key to unlock what was going on in their life. Well, Jewish people, especially people in the Middle East, when it comes time for darkness, they're very, very hospitable. They invite people into their homes because it's not safe to walk around outside in the dark. And so as this man was walking along with the two that were on the road to Emmaus, they invited him to stay with them, not realizing that he was Jesus. And it's also normal that you would share food with that person. So they sat down. And the thing that Jesus had done every time he fed them, whether it had been with the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, or at the Last Supper, he took the bread, he gave thanks to God, he broke the bread, And then he gave it to them. Instantly, that moment of grace opened their eyes and they realized that they were in the presence of Jesus Christ. Do you ever have moments where you open your eyes or you kind of have a V8 moment? You remember what the V8 moments were, right? Could have had a V8, right? You realize that you're in a holy moment, that the Spirit is truly there, that the Lord is with you. Well, you can't get a bigger holy moment than what these two just experienced, right? They were in the presence of Jesus. Just like today, as we prepare to receive, we know that we are in the presence of God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It's a true moment of grace. And they too were in a moment of grace. And so on that road to Emmaus, their hearts were unlocked. They were able to experience joy, realizing that Jesus had resurrected for them. Jason DeFord was a felon, but he still had this baby daughter that was going to be needing cared for. In the meantime, his mom, who was a drug addict, ended up in jail also, and the baby was removed from her. And when Jason got out, he knew that he was going to have to change his ways, that he was going to have to find himself a good house, someplace that he could keep the baby, that way that CYS would take care of that baby, let him have the baby and let him raise that baby. And he got some help. And then eventually the woman who gave him help ended up marrying him. And part of the other thing that saved Jason was he was very musical. And so he would write songs. And while he was in his cell, he would write songs. And he took one of those songs and he was able to release it and make some money from that. Then he did an acoustic version in country radio. Ended up signing him on, and a year later, he ended up being on the Grand Ole Opry. Some of you might know who he is. And you know what? He's a little rough around the edges, but that's okay, because God loves us right where we are, whether we have rough edges or not. Thank God, because I had a whole lot of rough edges at one point in my life. Jason DeFore is known by the stage name as Jelly Roll. I heard some of you understand who that is now. And so he champions people that they too can turn their lives around and do something good. And by the way, that little baby girl is in her late teens now. Aren't you glad that God doesn't keep us bound and locked up from all the things that we might have done over our lifetime? Dumb things. Aren't you glad that we have the opportunity to unlock our resurrection stories and live into what Jesus has for each of us? Praise God, right? Let's pray. Lord God, today in this place, I know that there is a resurrection story that is waiting to be unlocked. Lord, through your grace and your mercy, through Jesus Christ and his death and his resurrection, unlock those resurrection stories. These stories that are sacred, because they point our lives to you and bring us in relationship with you. Help us to extend a hand of mercy and grace, just like Jesus extended a hand of mercy and grace to the two walking on the road to Emmaus, explaining to them why it was so important that he had to die and resurrect. Just like it was important for Jesus to die and resurrect for each of us. Let us live into this grace and mercy as we prepare our hearts for Holy Communion today. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. And so, some praises today. I didn't get any praises in the offering plate. I didn't get any prayer requests in the offering plate today. But if you look around, you can see a lot of things have been going on around here. And so I will tell you the praise that I've been seeing is how much work has been done this week, whether it be in the past couple weeks, whether it be from painting or stocking shelves, or I know this week that it's soup kitchen week for Stone, and there's so many things, so many good things going on. But there are more things yet to be done. And we've even planned special things for at least one Sunday a month for the rest of the year, and even one Sunday in the new year. That's exciting, right? You see, God's church keeps moving. And we have the opportunity to help more people unlock their resurrection stories. But I need some help. And I'll tell you what I need help with. First of all, I need some people who are willing to keep up on the bulletin boards that are out in Thoburn Lobby, changing them out, putting up new things, letting people know what's happening around the church and the community. Okay? That's one. Two, I need some people who are going to be willing to do primary church. You want the kids to come? Yes? Go like this so I know you're all listening. You gotta be able to step out a little bit. Maybe even if you've done it so many times before, that means you are probably well suited to do it. Yay. Right? But we need some people to do that. Because while primary church is going on, I can't do that. I'm here. Right? Okay, Sunday school. I've had somebody say about wanting to teach adult Sunday school. I think that's fantastic. But we need somebody for the kids too. And we have something coming up that's really special. We have a summer camp coming up for the kids. It'll be from June 30th through July the 3rd. It'll be for young ones who are in kindergarten through and including all the way up to fifth grade. And they'll get to have, it's like a vacation Bible school experience. And Wesley Woods is coming out of the woods to us. And then we'll get to take the kids on July the 3rd to the woods in Wesley Woods. And they'll get to have an entire day of camp experience. That sound exciting? Yes, it does. So I am so excited to be able to offer that. Not only that, but we're going to be offering summer camp this year. We didn't have it last year for those who need childcare. And we have openings for 20 young people, and we have a fantastic teacher lined up. There are exciting things going on around here. Don't you want to be part of that? Just like those who were on the road to Emmaus and had their eyes opened. I want my heart open too, right? Okay. So those are the needs and the praises of things that are going on. And I know that God has already supplied the people to be able to do it. So if God's nudging you today, talk to me. Okay? Next thing, I do have one prayer request. So some of you know that I am a mentor for a provisional pastors, those who are getting ready to be ordained within 1 to 3 years. And my mentee that I have for this year, she's going to be ordained an elder in June. However, she came home from work this week and found her husband sleeping on the sofa, but he wasn't sleeping. He had passed. Jacques and Sarah are younger than I am. So please pray for Sarah as she deals with this overwhelming tragedy and all of her family, especially and her mother-in-law. Jacques was an only child. Okay? So let's go ahead and sing our prayer hymn today. And you are welcome to remain seated. Our prayer hymn is Abide With Me, number 700. Abide With Me, and it'll be on the screen as well.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Lord God, there are so many good things that happen, and they're all because of you, and they're blessings through you. How great it is of a beautiful spring morning to be here in your presence today, still celebrating the resurrection, still celebrating that you have given us grace and mercy in our lives. And you have filled us, Lord. You have filled us with many gifts, many promises, many ways to be able to serve. Not only you, but because of you, we serve others in this community and in this church. Lord, I just pray that we continuously look for ways to be able to serve. Just like the night that you had bent down and washed the disciples' feet, may we too have the courage and the heart to be able to serve with a heart like yours. Lord, today we know that there are things that we do need, and we need people that are willing to step up and lend a hand. Lord, you know who you have called and chosen. Lord, I just pray that you give them an overwhelming sense of urgency now. Urgency that you are calling them to be your hands and feet at this moment. Lord, we also know that there are urgent other things in this world. Those who are in need of treatment from cancer. Those who are in need of wholeness, maybe even because of mental illness, maybe because of addiction. Maybe they're in a relationship that isn't good. Lord, I pray that they find relationship in you and strengthen wholeness in and through you and through us, who we are not perfect, but we're going on to perfection. Lord, today I pray. I pray for those who are grieving, who are in this sense of overwhelming hurt. Lord, I pray for those who are in this sense of overwhelming isolation, loneliness. And I pray for us who lock ourselves up and don't allow us to be as close to you as we might be. And so, Lord, we pray that this time, silently, confessing not only our love for you, but our sins that we have committed against you. O Lord, continue to abide with us as we pray the prayer that Jesus taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. On the screen there is liturgy for you to follow along. Christ invites to his table all who are ready for a resurrection in their own lives, to move beyond the limitations of the past, to move into the new day that God is doing in our midst, willing to let go of the pain that's gone. This is a day of new beginnings, time to remember and move on, time to believe what love is bringing, laying to rest the pain that's gone. And so, this is an open invitation to come and receive the bread that will sustain us as we embark on a journey towards our own resurrection story. All are invited to receive the sweetness of the cup as a sign of God's promise of abundant possibilities. All are invited to this meal, for all are forgiven their past regrets and invited into God's grace-filled future. Praise to the living God. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts in this new day. We lift them up to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Creator and Renewer of all life. Time and again you seek us out, breathing again the breath of life into the deflated places of our lives. And so we come to your table again to praise you and to taste yet again what your steadfast love can do. In faith, we'll all gather around, join with me. In faith, we'll gather around the table to taste and share what love can do. This is the day of new beginnings. Our God is making all things new. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. Your Spirit anointed him to preach the good news to the poor and to proclaim release to the captives and recovering the sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to announce that the time had come when you would save your people. He healed the sick, fed the hungry, and ate with sinners. All this spoke of resurrection of lives even before his own. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. When the Lord Jesus ascended, he promised to be with us always in the power of your word and Holy Spirit. Join with me. For by the life and death of Jesus, God's mighty Spirit, now as then, can make us a world of difference as faith and hope are born again. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took the bread and he gave thanks to you, and then he gave it to his disciples and he said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And when supper was over, he took the cup and he gave thanks to you. And then he gave it to his disciples and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so we remember these words as the acts of Jesus Christ. We offer our own lives, leaving behind what we do not need, seeking new paths full of resurrected life in you. As followers of Christ, we proclaim and live out this holy mystery. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Then let us, with the Spirit's daring, step from the past and leave behind our disappointed guilt and grieving, seeking new paths and sure to find. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us that are gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the resurrection story in Christ, so that we may be a resurrection story for the whole world as the body of Christ, breaking ourselves open to God's redeemed future. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church. All honor and glory is yours, Almighty God, now and forever. Christ is alive and goes before us to show and share what love can do. This is the day of new beginnings. Our God is making new. We do serve an open table here at this church, which means everybody can come. You don't have to be baptized. You just need to come, ready to receive, ready to let God's mercy and grace work in your life. Come and join with us. The body of Jesus Christ given for you. The body of Jesus Christ given for you. The blood of Jesus Christ given for you. The blood of Jesus Christ given for you. The body of Jesus Christ given for you. The body of Jesus Christ given for you. me. Lord God, in this time, in this place, we have come face to face with you. It's a joy to be in your presence. It's a joy to build relationship with you and those that worship you. May we always remember the joy of the resurrection and live into that. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So our last hymn today is I Love to Tell the Story. And if you follow along in the hymnal, there are four verses, but there is a fifth verse that goes along with this, and it's going to be on the screen today, and it's about unlocking your resurrection story. So if you're able, I invite you to stand and join with me today in the closing hymn. I love to tell the story.
Thank you.
that bind us, keep us locked up. And it'd be good if we were able to help somebody else who's struggling with those chains of life, those things, those sins that hold us back or regrets that hold us back. Be good to be able to help them with the biggest key of all, Jesus the Christ, right? To be able to share the grace and the love and the mercy. Sometimes it begins with being able to tell your own story of how Jesus has unlocked our lives, our resurrection story. But know this for sure. Everybody has a sacred story. One that tells of life's hurts and life's triumphs. And building into it what Christ has done for us, which is the greatest triumph story, the greatest resurrection story, the greatest part of your sacred story and mine. We're not perfect people, but God is a perfect God. Go out today and help somebody else unlock their story. And if you still need yours unlocked, today's a great day to get the keys and unlock it. In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. You may be seated.